La 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 la. Okay, so no Bee Gees today, huh?
No, I tried to contain myself.
Okay, all right. So that was our intro music. So welcome to Ready, Set, Stream. Episode two,
Dose.
episode uno dos,
Numero dos.
numero dos, or
That is
do,
correct.
do,
Duh.
yeah, or whatever language we want to do. Those are the only two that I know. But anyway, so we watched Gilmore Girls, episode two of season one, called The Lorelai's First Day at Chilton. And we're not going to really do a summary. We never do summaries.
Yeah, they're kind of a package deal. So when one does something, the other one follows. Like
Yeah.
the opening songs
And
does.
honestly, most of the time, their episode titles kind of say it all anyway.
Yeah.
And we're going to go over every possible point of every scene anyhow. So we're not going to bother with a
For
summary.
now.
Yeah, for now.
Until we
Unless
start
somebody.
getting responses from
Right.
people.
So if somebody complains, hey, where are the summaries? Then maybe we might rethink it. And
We're
just
doing
to
this on the fly, people.
right, we're doing it on the fly, off the
We
seat of
don't
our
know what we
pants.
might say, so bear with us.
Right, I don't
Me
know.
especially, because I get off topic.
Maybe we should make this show explicit, just in case. Yeah, I don't
Something to
know.
think. Food
Yeah,
for thought.
we'll think about that. But if I sound a little throaty, it's because I'm a little throaty. I've had a cold
I had
this
nothing to do
week.
with it.
Yeah,
Okay.
I've had a cold this week and some chest crap going on, and I'm still kind of coughy, so if you hear me
A lot of
cough or
Mucinex.
yeah, I've used a lot of
Yeah.
Mucinex this week. But anyway, so let's get into episode two of this show. So this kind of starts out with a bang. It's sort of slow, but then starts not slow, but it starts out with kind of a serene scene, and then after the intro music, it kind of begins with a bang.
This is more your field of expertise. It's mother-daughter bonding right off the
Yeah,
bat,
it
yeah.
kind of is. So Lorelai and Rory are sitting on the front porch. It's nighttime, and she's painting Rory's toenails, which I think is cute because it's such a mother-daughter thing to do. But she's kind of doing that, and Rory mentioned something about, I'm going to be wearing shoes, and nobody's going to see my toenails, and you know, going to this private school, you know, I've got to wear a specific uniform, saddle Oxfords, you know. Or what she is part of her uniform, and Lorelai tells her that bad girls always wear red nail polish.
Yeah, there's
You
a lot
know.
of schoolgirl fetishes out there. You know, the whole Catholic schoolgirl thing, the uniforms, etc.
But I don't think this is a Catholic school. I
No,
think it's
no,
just a
no, no.
private
I'm just
school.
mentioning that because that's what
But
they always say.
so yeah, she wants her daughter to be good, but talks to her about being bad. This is where I kind of feel in this scene, it's very short, but this is where the friendship side kind of takes over their relationship, rather than the mother and the daughter, because they're just kind of sitting there and doing something
A
very
friendship.
friendship
Yeah,
bonding, you know.
friendship.
So I just thought that was kind of cool. And then it's immediately disrupted with Lane, you know, Rory's best friend, running
Wait, I
through.
want to back up about
Oh, we're gonna.
the bad girl, the
Oh,
private school.
yeah, okay.
I wanted to say something about I was listening to I don't know if anyone listens to Chrisley Confessions. It's another podcast.
Oh, is that about the Chrisley
Yeah,
family?
the TV show, you know, you might have
Yeah.
seen it.
Chrisley
Chrisley
knows
knows, yeah,
best,
Chrisley
yeah.
knows best. Anyway, Todd was on there. He's the dad. He was talking about an episode. It was adult babysitting.
Oh,
You know, they're
Lord.
hilarious. This is kind of behind the scenes of their lives. And he was talking about, well, their kids went to private school, and he was like, yeah, there's a lot of hoes in those private schools, and there was a Christian school even. And he's like, I know, because my son Chase found them. So I thought that was hilarious. Go check that out if you haven't listened. It's pretty interesting.
That is kind of funny, though, that he'd say that, because if
Yeah.
you've ever watched that show,
Yeah.
his son was at that time very much of a kind of a
A
womanizer.
playboy. Yeah, he's a trip
Yeah.
because he wears a shirt. I love Jesus, but I cuss a little, and I can totally relate to that.
Oh, yeah, I can too.
All right, go
But
ahead.
I went to private schools.
Yeah.
I went to private schools all my life until the 11th grade. All of them were Christian private schools. And I don't know if things have changed since back then or not, but all of mine were pretty, you know, gentle, you know, very almost kind of sheltered in a way, I guess you could say. And then I switched to public school in my junior year and then senior year, and I went wild. And I don't know if it was because of the change. It was just a culture shock. I'm not saying that it has anything bad to say about our public school systems, but it was just a really big culture change for me to go from private school all my life into a public school where there wasn't so much as much structure as, I mean, the schools I went to, when the teacher came into the room and the bell rang, you stood up until they were seated, and then you sat down. I mean, they were very structured. And then, of course, you go to public school and you don't have that kind of thing.
Well, I didn't have that experience. I went to public school my whole life. I had some friends that went to private school. They kind of looked down on me a lot. But I'll tell you, those parties they threw were a lot wilder than anything that I was accustomed to. Because I didn't really do the partying scene, but they sure did.
Let me tell you, though, I will say this. In my senior year, I do recall going to a pretty raucous party, and I got there, and it was way on the other side of town from one of the main private schools I used to attend, and darned if there weren't, like, half of the class that I used to be with at that private school was at the party, at the keg, drinking.
So, public service announcement, parents, so beware the freaks in the private school.
Right, maybe private schools just hide it a little bit better, or maybe I just didn't run in that crowd at the time.
I don't know about today, but I don't know if it's rampant today with our times, but it was back then.
Okay, so back to the story. All right,
back on topic here.
Yeah, we got to rein ourselves in here. All right, so Lorelai's doing the toenail painting. Lane runs through... I mean, runs through on the porch, and she is yelling, XTC, Apple Venus Volume 2, and Lorelai totally abandons Rory, jumps up and runs excitedly.
Did she even finish her nails?
No.
She
runs excitedly after Lane, squealing about this CD that Elaine has apparently got in her hand. And next thing you know, you can hear music in there, and you can see them dancing through the curtain, you know, because there's lights on in the house. It's dark outside, so you can see the outline of them, her and the teenager dancing. And Rory's just kind of sitting there like, okay, what about my toenails? And it was just, I don't know.
So she's kind of like...
It kind of made me think, you know, that Rory, that, well, it just kind of shows where she relates well to other teenagers. So she's like a big teenager herself. I know that my daughter and I, we had that kind of relationship in a way, and she would always say that her friends loved me. I mean, they all friended me on Facebook. So it kind of reminds me of, I kind of relate to Lorelai in that way. Do you think that, I don't know, do you think that has something to, does it say something about mothers who have their children at a very young age? Because I know I had my daughter at a young age.
I think so. I think there's a closer bond, a more friendship, because you can relate more to them, because it wasn't that long ago you were that age. But so you made a point about them saying you were cool. That made me think about the Mean Girls movie. I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh, yeah.
For those who haven't, go check that out.
About a million times.
But it's like Regina George's mom. She's always going around, I'm not like other moms. I'm a cool mom. So if you want something, come to me. And as her chihuahua's biting on her implants, that's hilarious. But anyways, so I think it's more important, more impressive that her friend said you were cool than you saying, hey, I'm cool, you know.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
If you're saying it yourself, chances are your daughter and her friends are probably rolling their eyes behind your back.
And you're trying to live through your daughter.
Right.
And be one of the girls.
But for me, I was
just... That's kind of sad.
For me, I was just being myself.
Yeah, that's kind of... You don't want to be the sad mom. You want to be the cool mom.
Well, and like you said, it hadn't been that long before that I was their age. So I kind of still felt very, very young. And actually, I still feel kind of young.
Yeah, you're as old as you feel.
My kid is now much older and is an adult out in the world living on her own. So, I don't know. And my son is too, and he's older.
You know how everybody says 40 is the new 20 or 50 is the new 30, whatever.
Right, right.
You know, everybody's trying to be young.
Yes, well, I'm in my 30s.
So. Well, let's go then.
We'll go with that.
Yeah, you go, girl.
All right, so we have our that kind of ends that scene. Rory's just kind of left there.
Let's move on here.
And then we have the the intro music and song, and the first scene I think is so funny because Rory comes stomping into Lorelai's room and telling her to wake up because it's 7:10 and they're going to be late on her first day, and she's like, "Mom," she's really into it. And Lorelai thinks that it's earlier. She's like, "No, it's not. It's 6 something.
Don't you just hate when your alarm clock fails?
I hate that. Yes.
Well, when I was younger, it got to me more than now. I guess as you get older, you don't want to go to work. But I used to have somewhere to be, and I was stressed out because I was the one that's always early, never late. But nowadays, I'm like, screw it.
I hate waking up late, but you know what? I can't stand even worse. Whenever I wake up around the time that I should be at work on a Saturday and I think it's a weekday, and I get up and frantically start to get ready only to realize it's Saturday, fool.
Oh, yeah, you love that.
I can't stand
you
that.
You love it, though.
Well, at first, I can't stand it. And then after that, I'm like, oh, it's Saturday. Thank the Lord. Yeah.
It's like somebody once told me, if you're important, they'll wait, which I don't know. Agree with that. I don't, necessarily.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't necessarily go there, but I don't think that highly of myself, first
right.
of all.
So,
but it does happen.
Lorelai thinks it's early, and she set the clock, which Rory holds up, and I think it is so funny because it is a blue furry clock, and she looks at the time, she jumps up, she tries to find clothes all the while.
Is it a kitten clock?
I don't know what it is, actually.
How do you suppose you turn that off?
I don't know. I guess you use like that book, the Harry Potter book, the monster book. You just start to spine. I don't know.
Get her done.
Whatever. But okay, I don't know. She never says what kind of clock it is, but she does make a reference to it later about something. We'll get to that. But, Rory is chasing her around while she's frantically trying to get ready and look for clothes, just reminding her how the minutes are ticking down. And, she's kind of running over here. I kind of like this because it shows how Rory can sometimes come across as the responsible one.
So and it's like a role reversal.
Kind of a role reversal a little bit. Yeah. She's talking all about how, you don't want to be labeled as the girl who's always late, because I'm late the first day. It sets a precedent, So I kind of thought that was cool.
Didn't you hear that once? It's 9 o'clock. Where are your parents?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Back in the day,
So Lorelai says that she had it all planned out. We were going to go for coffee. I was going to pick up my dry cleaning. And then at that point, she remembers that she has no clean clothes while Rory keeps repeating every minute that has ticked down. And, Lorelai makes the comment, that's the last time that I buy anything just because it's furry. And I thought that was really funny.
That's the clock.
But then she does make another reference to it later in the show. We'll get to that.
Yeah. I think she explains how you turn it off, actually.
So she... Yeah.
So we'll get to her.
But she... finally gets Rory to go downstairs and wait for her.
Yeah.
And a couple minutes later, she comes running down the stairs wearing a pink t-shirt.
Tie-dye, wasn't it?
Sort of tie-dye-ish, a little.
Yeah.
And but predominantly pink. And then she's wearing kind of Daisy Dukes and boots.
All right.
And
hold on. I need to speak on this because that was more of the 2005. This was pre that. But it was more of the 2005 Jessica Simpson version. I prefer the back in my day, the Catherine Bott version of Daisy Duke. The shorts were a little shorter. And,
of course, you
and
prefer
she,
that.
And she looked better. But I think Laura Graham could have made a great Daisy Duke.
Actually, yeah.
And
now that you
a Wonder
think about
Woman.
It. Oh, my gosh.
Linda Carter.
Can you imagine her as Wonder Woman?
I'm not talking about the new.
She's got the eyes.
There's two travesties in life. the remake of The Dukes of Hazzard and Wonder Woman 1984.
Yeah, a lot of people said that that one wasn't as good. I'm not sure why. My son saw it. And he didn't like it. I keep needling you.
Like, let's watch Wonder Woman. And you're like, if you mention that one more time.
My son just...
because well, you can't... You think I have something for...
No.
What's her name?
No, it's just that ever since my son's 30, and ever since he told me that it was really not that good to him, and he loves superhero movies, including Wonder Woman. So if he didn't like it, then I'm just kind of like, I don't even want to watch it.
Yeah, but couldn't you...
My son's stamp of approval on a superhero movie is the stamp of approval.
Yeah, he's an authority.
But I can totally see her as Wonder Woman from the original one done by Linda Carter, TV show. Linda Carter had that dark hair, black, almost black hair. See that gold band
on her head?
And she had those beautiful, glowy blue eyes. And Lauren Graham has got that, too.
Well, you always wanted the truth lasso because you wanted to put that on me a few times, right?
Absolutely. Still do.
We'll just avoid that
almost
subject.
Almost on a daily basis.
But, yes, I could totally see her, besides those movie fails, I could totally see her. They should have got her to play
Daisy
Duke. For sure. But Linda Carter, she could have been a perfect Wonder
with her
Woman.
With Lauren Graham's long legs, if they had cut those shorts just a little shorter, she'd have made a perfect Daisy Duke.
Yeah, you're worried about Gal Gadot, but Lauren Graham, ooh.
Well, when she comes down wearing that outfit, I think it is hysterical when Rory looks at her and says, "Did another rodeo is in town." I just thought, wow, okay. And when she does that and she keeps on with the whole rodeo idea, Lorelai picks up a picture off of, I guess, they've got this little entranceway table.
Wait, before you get to that, going to that proper private school dress like that, I mean, that would fly around here at Walmart. That's more of a Walmart dress around here.
It's a Walmart outfit. Yeah. Yes.
People of Walmart.
But to go to... To go to the first day of school with your child,
upper class,
to have to meet the principal,
the headmaster, yes, you're correct. Now,
yeah, I gotta get. It's a lot more. Yeah,
that's. I want to know if anybody has similar stories of where they had like a clothes fail. It's kind of like the kissing booth. These are my backups to my backups. You know
what
I mean?
Yes.
But
these are my backups.
Yes, I want to hear those stories. Please send those in.
Yeah, I would have hated to have had to go with my son or daughter to their first day of school wearing an outfit like that. I always dressed up anytime I had to go to the school. And you know that Lauren Graham hates this, that she's having to go in this outfit.
Oh, no doubt.
But, yeah, so Rory keeps needling her about it until she finally picks up a picture, which apparently is unflattering of Rory. And she's like, I'm going to take this with me.
The writers milked this joke. I love it.
I know. They really did.
You'll see. It's coming.
And Rory immediately is like, oh, my God, no. Okay, I promise. I won't say another word. Or, you know, she just.
Oh, yeah. So she gets out the picture.
Yeah, she gets out that picture. But you know what that reminded me of?
Yeah.
When I was young, I don't know. I must have been maybe 11 or 12. 10, 11, I think, maybe. I don't think I was quite 12. I happened to be in the bathroom doing business when my mother and sister thought it would be funny to poke their heads around the corner and take a picture of me while I was doing my business.
Oh, yeah.
And they just laughed. They thought it was hysterically funny. I was so mad. And the picture of me has me sitting there on the throne looking at them with this murderous look on my face. Like, I am going to get you.
Yeah.
And any time my mom needed to threaten me with grades or anything, she would say, I'm going to take that picture of you and I'm going to post it on the bulletin board at your school.
Why do all parents find
embarrassing prop?
No, yeah. Fronts and butts as cute little, I'm going to take this as a baby, show it when they're older.
Dude,
to embarrass
I do
them.
Not know.
That would be considered child pornography nowadays.
Yes, it would. But I think, honestly, though, I believe my mom still has that picture.
Oh, yeah. She's holding it over you. Yeah.
One of these days, she's going to pull it out. And she's going to...
Once again, that's some leverage.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As I mentioned last time.
But, yeah, that kind of reminded me. As soon as I saw that, I immediately thought of that happening to me when I was little.
You had a flashback.
I had a flashback.
It was like an acid trip or something going on.
It was not a good flashback. So, anyway, they jump in Lorelai's Jeep.
They jump in the Daisy Duke Jeep.
Yeah.
There we go.
And they drive to Chilton. And Chilton is, like, this really beautiful stone-worked, you know, place. It kind of...
Old castle feel.
Yeah, definitely. And the two of them are both in there just kind of staring at the high school. And, I mean, both of their heads are tilted and they're looking at... You know, at the school, and she says, and I think she says to Rory, I remember them being I remember them having a few less heads or something like that. I don't know.
The gargles or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
she says, I'm just kind of wondering if there's a hunchback in that tower.
Yeah, that was the culture reference, right?
Right.
One of the... First one, well, the second or third, I think.
Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yes.
Victor Hugo, in case you didn't know.
I remember, but, I related to, what was it, her ninth grade, was it, what year was she when she transferred here?
I think she was a sophomore.
Oh, well, I had to transfer school when I was in ninth grade. The first month, I had to transfer to a different school, totally different, new social setting. I found it a little daunting, but. I went in myself, but, you know, I guess this is a bigger deal, a private school or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I totally related to the being maybe possibly behind in your work, having to make new friends. I get all that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, so from that point on, Lorelai sort of gives Rory a pep talk, you know, the whole, you're amazing, blah, blah, blah. I just thought that was such a loving mother-daughter moment. And you can just see
she was
that,
joining the experience with it.
Right. And you could see kind of Rory relaxing into herself a little bit.
Just make a day of it, you know.
But she starts to, you know, kind of act like she's not coming in. And Rory's like, you have to meet the headmaster.
I wonder why she wouldn't want to come in.
Yeah, I wonder. And she immediately says, I can't meet anybody that does anything in there. I look like that chick from Dukes of Hazzard. She actually gave a shout out to it herself.
Yeah.
But she does find like a
She does look a lot like... I'm just going to throw that back in there. But anyways, I digress.
But she does find a long coat to put on, which hides, you know...
So you don't know what's going on.
But she doesn't tie it up immediately.
Yeah.
And so they're heading into Chilton, and a Chilton dad happens to pass them. And because she doesn't have it tied up immediately, I'm assuming, she catches his eye.
Yeah.
I mean, she's beautiful anyway, but I'm sure that would have caught his eye.
I was sitting there thinking... Focus. This is about Rory now.
Right.
Because she, I mean, what woman doesn't like compliments? And well, she's a big flirt anyways.
Well, he hits on her, you know. Yeah. She fumbles
she's
a little.
She's eating it up, though.
Well, she fumbles a little nervously, you know, and he asks her what she does. She tells him she runs the Independence Inn.
Rory's getting impatient.
You know,
then
Rory's getting impatient, so she finally says, you know, I gotta
go. Let's move along here.
Move
nothing
along.
To see here.
Yeah, they go into the building. They pass about three girls. That will be important later.
God.
But we don't know who they
are
at the moment.
Reminds me of Mean Girls again. They're brooding over.
May I just say I loved her reaction to seeing the receptionist.
Oh God, that was that reminded me of the, you know, Crypt Keeper. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my gosh.
When you don't have, she
even makes a sound when the receptionist looks up and she gets a good look at her. I think Lorelai even makes a noise.
No, it was like, hi.
Oh,
how? Wow.
Wow, yeah.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, that was funny.
It's like, she says something about, that's why you don't wear makeup to bed, kid, or something, you know? Because you wake up like that.
Right.
She did look like the Crypt Keeper, though. Those
well,
eyes, man.
You're not supposed to wear makeup to bed, and anytime I ever
that
do,
that was rough.
I always wake up the next day with, like, raccoon eyes. You know, like, everything's run and made a circle. I don't know.
That's a cautionary tale, ladies. Some men out there.
Yeah,
men. Don't wear makeup to bed.
Anybody that wears makeup, don't wear it to bed. Always remove your makeup. So then they do go in, finally. They get to meet the headmaster, and they walk in. And there sits Emily Gilmore.
This is starting to get on my nerves.
Emily Gilmore is sitting in there, already in the headmaster's office, And I just, and by the way, we did not say that Emily Gilmore, her mother, Lorelai's mother, is played by a wonderful actress, Kelly Bishop.
I thought you already said that.
No, actually, I don't think I did. If this is a repeat, forgive me, but I really don't think I said that. But, I mean, did I?
Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, did I?
Maybe.
Did,
I don't maybe remember. I don't remember. Anyways, okay. Shout out to her. She's great.
She is great. And I don't think anybody could have played this part the way she did.
Oh, no.
I mean, she's perfect. But there she sits, and Lorelai looks at her. She's got the coat
she's
closed.
She's under my skin.
She's got the cloak closed at this point. But she's subtly, totally like, okay, Mom, why are you here? You know?
Doesn't she say something like, she asks her about it, she's like, I like it warm, it's laundry day.
Oh, no, he says, would she like to take her coat off? And she says, no, I'll just keep it on.
Yeah, I like it warm.
And Emily's like, remove your coat or you'll be...
It was hot or something.
Or you'll be rude.
Yeah.
And she just kind of stands there for a second, and without any good excuse, I mean, if it was me, I would have said, no, Mom, I'm good. You know, I'm actually a little chilly. I would have said something to keep it on. But no, she actually sheepishly removes it, and yeah. There the headmaster gets to see... The Daisy Duke
and
outfit that she's wearing, yes.
Her nudie suit, so to speak.
they kind of talk a little bit, and then the two of them leave, and as she's leaving, Emily asks her, and this may be one, this goes down as possibly one of my favorite lines
the snarky comment.
Yes, do you need a ride, or is your horse parked outside?
Oh, beside, even further than that, she says like a snarky, dinner Friday night, no Spurs, please. Oh, something like that.
Yeah, she that's how she gets, you know, she gets out of the room. I kind of wonder if she knew what Lorelai was wearing under that and did it on purpose, because she had to have seen the boots peeking out from underneath.
Yeah, that was a tip off that she wasn't in formal dress.
Kind of makes me wonder if she knew that Lorelai had something inappropriate on. And wanted that to happen.
I'm not the one to big on first impressions and how my appearance, but you do dress for the occasion.
Of course. But,
and
yeah.
She could be embarrassed, you know, and she was. And her mother, I think her mother did know that, wanted to run her first impression, because she's all about first impressions. She wanted to insert herself as, I'm the mother here.
Right.
And I pulled the strings.
Well, as they're leaving, it's just the two of them walking out together. And she tells Emily, or she asks Emily, why are you even here? And Emily's like, well, I'm putting a good word for Rory, you know. And Lorelai says, you know, you didn't need to be here. And Emily's like, oh, so I can pay for it, but not set foot on the premises. Can I drive down the street? You know, and, yeah. And she just keeps going on and on and on. And I'm like, all right, lady, drop it.
All right, yeah.
You know, you've said
enough's
your piece.
Enough, you know.
Enough is enough. Get over it, you know. And
take your Ritalin.
She just
on.
Thought it was important that the school know that they had a Gilmore among them.
Oh yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself when I heard that, what does she think Lorelai is, chopped liver?
Well, she doesn't have the social connection. It's all about the status with
Emily.
When you're,
I know.
You know, when you're in that class, you know.
So then her departing remark is, of course, you know, to say to Lorelai, dinner Friday night, no Spurs,
oh, yeah,
please, like
said,
you
that,
just said.
Yeah, that just stuck out in my mind, like, oh my God, what a thing to say.
Right.
You know, like she did it on purpose. Or,
I know.
You know? Well, she's never been in that situation, because she has all her suits sent out to the cleaners and press.
Right.
And waiting.
So
know?
At this point in episode 2, I'm still just trying to figure out what's wrong with this relationship, and where did it go wrong, when is it going to end, you know? And so then at that point, we flash over to, you know, Rory and the headmaster are having a talk. And he kind of mentions that she doesn't have any school activities. She says, you know, the Stars Hollow is an activity kind of all on its own.
Yes.
Small
town life can be that way.
Yes.
It's a big social experiment anyway.
It is, because they have a lot of festivals, a lot of fairs.
Oh, yeah. Something always going on.
Little crafts, things like that. And she participates in a lot of them, you know. She does say that she was in a German club with 3 people until they saw Schindler's List. And
yeah,
then they quit.
That would put you off right away to
it would
drama part.
But no offense to the Germans out there. You know, anyway.
Hopefully we've learned from the past. You know, we don't want to repeat anything.
So, he's asking her a lot of questions about what her goals are in life. And that's when she says that she's, you know, wanting to do this and this and this. And he's like, on your way to what? And she's like, being Christiana Amanpour. And it, you know, comes out that she wants to go to Harvard. And, you know, he makes a string of references to, oh, so, you know, does that have to take place on TV? Rosie, Oprah?
Yeah, that irritated
me. The View,
me.
Et cetera. And I'm thinking...
That irritated me.
Yeah, that was irritating.
There's other things you could do besides be a TV host.
Yeah, and she even says, you know, no, you know, I could be a journalist. You know,
I mean, you made your point. You think you're a big fish in a small pond. This is the ocean. You know, you sink or swim here. I mean, we have high standards. We get it.
Right.
Don't need to belittle her aspirations.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
Why start to diminish somebody's hopes and dreams and the track that they want to be on before you've even seen anything out of them, what they can do.
But what did she say back?
Well, she talks about how it doesn't have anything about being, you know, have anything to do with being on TV. You know, she said, I could be a journalist. I just want to be able to see a lot of things, and then maybe I'll report on what I see in journalism, you know. And he kind of leaves that alone. And this was very much not a pep talk.
Yeah.
You know, he starts to talk about...
Oh, he wants to get across.
Oh,
we don't play here.
Yeah.
This is a
high
and mighty... You know, school here.
After saying that he had
pillars of education,
just had dinner at the Gilmores.
Oh yeah,
you know where he had lobster puffs.
Yeah, the lobster puffs are to die for.
Yeah, he mentions that the lobster puffs.
She
are
says
to die for.
She refers back to that.
She will here in a second. Yeah. But he goes on to explain how this school is. You know, she may have been at top of her old school.
Yeah.
The expectations here are much
that
higher.
That was my point, yeah.
It's almost like he's trying to tell her that she's failed already.
Oh, yeah, because he's like, people fail, they're going to fail.
Or maybe he's just giving her a heads up, but...
Expectations, you know.
And he's like, you know, if you fail, failure's a part of life.
This isn't the first time he's given this spiel to students.
Right.
Especially her transferring like this is a different kind of scenario, too.
As a just met you kind of conversation and we wanting to welcome you to the school, I mean, I understand that they would want to set expectations, but it was just it came across very harsh. There was nothing in there about you're going to get out of this what you put in. It's a tough school, but you can do it if you set your mind to it. It wasn't like that. It was just... Well, you know, you were a big fish in your small pond.
Oh, yeah.
But
he's
almost like saying she's already drowning.
Because he's on the same page as Emily. now, my first impression. Now, I will say, you know how I am. I'll pick somebody out that I love to hate.
Yeah.
And I'll hate on them.
Yes.
But I do come around. He does have their best interests at heart.
Well, she bears the brunt of this entire conversation. In silence, and finally when he gets done speaking, she just kind of looks at him and says, so you like the left lobster puffs, huh?
Yeah.
Almost grinned.
Yeah, he liked her moxie there. I will say
that.
Yeah,
I think that she almost...
There's a little fight in it. He wanted to see, is she going to be somebody who caves under this pressure, or how does she respond to it? And I think he had a higher opinion, a little bit of respect for her after that. You know, like, she might make it, you know?
Right.
I'm rooting for her.
So then Rory goes to administration where she has to fill out some paperwork. One of the administrators takes her file to a girl that volunteers in the office at
a
desk.
Yeah, a student.
And the desk happens to be right next to a window. And she takes that
file. A hand comes up.
And immediately passes it out the window where a hand has come up and is waiting for it.
And it's the mean girls.
And it's those three girls that they passed when they were first coming in. One of which is Paris, of course. Paris and her two
friends.
Well,
we don't know her name yet,
Madeline,
or do they mention
They mention her name.
Okay.
And it's Madeline Louise is her two best friends, or minions, I would refer to them as.
Yeah, the minions.
And, of course, Paris is played by Eliza Wheel. And, oh, my gosh,
that's
Paris.
Great.
Over the course of the series entirely, I have a love-hate relationship with this girl. But she is so different. She's one of the bright spots of the show to me. whether she's being great or whether she's not.
She's full-born enemy right now, but she becomes like a frenemy.
Well, you know, let's not give too much away. I mean, she's just a really great character, but she's going through the file to see what this new competition, you know, has, and what that competition might mean to her.
She definitely, you know, don't subscribe to the keep your enemies,
your friends close, your enemies closer.
Yeah, she doesn't prescribe to that. Yeah, at all.
So she's making note of Rory's GPA, the fact that she was on the school paper.
Intel.
Lots of references, yeah. But she's like, she does reference the fact that Rory apparently is a month behind. And
she'll never catch up, yeah.
She just kind of ends with, you know, they keep letting more new people in. It's going to mess up the curve, you know. And it's clear she doesn't want anything messing up her standing in the school. So immediately you know that her standing in the school,
that's her identity.
That is her passion. That's her identity.
But she said they equate her being from a small town. Don't they say she's a Dixie chick? Is that where they say this?
I'm not sure.
But I think they call her a Dixie. We got dealing with a Dixie chick on our hand or something of that effect. But I think it's funny as being from the South, that, you know, up there, I think they equate small town as Dixie as country. I don't know, but I just thought that was humorous.
Yeah. Like, once again,
that's small town life. You
forgive
know?
My coughing, folks. But all right, so from that point,
but she's very insecure.
She is. She.
That was, you know, my impression.
She's. I don't know. She's just a. She's kind of an anomaly, or an enigma, both, because she is at times insecure. And then at times you feel like she's so overly confident that how can both of those characteristics exist in one person? But I don't know. That's why I find her fascinating.
If that is the place that Dixie Chicks is referenced to the musical group. They have an identity crisis.
They dropped the Dixie.
No, it's a Chicks. Yeah. I don't know what's going on there.
Okay, so now we cut and we are in Luke's diner. Lorelai has gone in there in her Daisy Duke outfit.
Now we're getting somewhere.
And she has her dry cleaning with her, so she's gone and picked up the dry cleaning.
But she comes in tapping her vein like an addict.
She says, Luke tells her, "No coffee, just herbal tea." Yeah. And she says, "I need coffee and an IV."
She's tapping that vein, you know.
They're off again with their wonderful banter. Yeah. And I love their banter.
That's the core force here, driving the show.
This is their shtick.
Yeah.
And I really, really love it because it just really drives that chemistry that they have between them.
Love the banter.
She mentions that she had just finished taking Rory to Chilton. And Luke kind of gives her a once over, kind of looks her up and down a little bit and says, "That's how you dress to go?"
That's the ongoing, overriding joke.
Yes,
everybody dies
for that. And she mentions the fuzzy clock again and says that it didn't purr on time. And I'm thinking, okay, so it's a purring clock. Wow, what kind of animal is it supposed to be?
That's why I was thinking, you know,
right?
How are you going to shut that off, you know? But
right. So,
I guess did she say I didn't stroke it right? I think she said something like that.
No, I don't know if she said
anything
other
than that. I think she
said
something like that.
But
I was just wowed
by the fact that she has a clock that is furry and it purrs to wake you up.
Well, I would have wrote that in.
I would.
That was gold right there.
It is. But I'm telling you right now, there is no way in the world that a purring alarm clock would ever wake me up. It's not going to happen.
You'd have to have a nuclear blast. Even then, I don't think I'd rouse unless it's kind of like, what about Bob again when he's sleeping in there and he's like,
you
got to go. And he's like, cock a doodle doo, Bob, trying to get up. And he's jumping on his back. And then the alarm goes off and he's like,
No, it was a bird tweet.
Yeah, or something. And he's
I
like,
don't know.
His
something
watch
very
or something,
small.
His watch or something. He's like, "Hey, everybody."
Yeah. So anyway, that's the last she has to hear about. That scene is the last she has to hear about her outfit.
No, wait,
I'm wrong.
You're ahead of yourself.
I am ahead of myself.
Ahead of yourself this time. What about that?
Okay.
Yeah. How's it feel now?
I will say that the last thing that I noticed in this scene is the sign behind Luke.
Oh, yeah.
Saying no cell phones.
He might as well have.
And I think that's the first time that we see the no cell phone sign.
I noticed that, too. I think he should have a... I think he's one of these types. No soliciting, no hang arounds, do your business
and get out.
This is a diner, for crying out loud.
Right.
This is not a social hall. This is not... You'll see more of that as it goes.
I think
he even gets on... I don't know. Maybe this episode. I think he gets on to... I don't know.
So at that point, she leaves. She passes Miss Patty's dance studio, played by Liz Torres. I loved her. She was in All in the Family with Sally Struthers.
I think this is the last time.
Yes, this is the last
time. Yes.
Yes. Thank you for keeping me on point.
That's what I'm here for.
She notices... Thank you so much.
Not so much, though.
She notices Lorelai's outfit and says...
is that what you wore?
Wasn't today the day you were supposed to drop Rory off at her new school or something?
Is that what you wore?
And I just thought, yeah, this is funny.
That was the only thing. That was it. Just because she was getting in her...
Yes, she was getting in her jeans. Yeah, she was leaving.
The whole point of that little scene.
And then I think she went home to get ready for work.
Just to needle it a little bit more.
She immediately gets a
phone. Because we've all been there. You mess up. Somebody's always going to point it out.
Oh, that happens to me constantly. If I mess up, everybody notices.
It's almost like when you had a sore muscle and everybody comes up and or a sunburn and they slap you on the shoulder.
And they never do it. Yeah.
But it's like subconsciously they know you're in pain and they go right to it. I hate that. It really drives me nuts. That has happened to me too. And you're like... Sunburn. I think they laugh.
Sunburn. They slap you when you have a sunburn.
And I think they get off on it because they just laugh and, oh, I didn't mean to. Yeah, right. Looks can kill. I burn a hole through them. Anyways. Let's go forward.
Okay, so she gets home, presumably to get ready for work now that she has her dry cleaning. And
I'm shaking my head here. Because
Emily is calling her.
Yeah.
Saying that she wants to buy... more uniform clothes for Rory. And so, once again, inserting herself, Lorelai says she's already bought Rory a bunch of stuff. And Emily's like, well, there are 5 days in a school week. And Lorelai's like, are you sure? My days of the week underwear only goes to Thursday. And I thought that was funny.
Why does she even try with him or with her?
I don't know. It just goes right over her head.
What did you say? I think you made a comment. It was her self-defense mechanism
I think it's a self-defense mechanism.
Because she does that anyways, but with her mother,
she tends to go overboard with her mom. I think it's a way to kind of put a buffer between them, between her and the remarks. That way they don't hit so hard.
I would say she was just being a smother, like on the Goldbergs, but their mother actually really cares. I don't think she really cares about them, So what do you think about that?
Well,
is she a smother, caring, or is she just... annoying.
Honestly, at this point, it's kind of hard to say.
Or is she doing it? She's trying to correct her things, correct how she was with her daughter, with Rory, through Rory.
I think it's more that, but it's too obnoxious. And it's encroaching upon Lorelai's role as the mother here. Because I had a thought, maybe
this is how you could have had it, Lorelai, if you just did the right thing in her eyes.
Maybe.
I could have gave you all the advantages. Look what I'm doing for your daughter.
Maybe.
You can't do it.
Because she continuously goes on and on about how many skirts Rory needs. Then she talks about wanting to buy her a sweater, then sweater vests. And, to the point where Lorelai asks her, are you getting a cut of the merchandising?
Yeah, I think she has some stock holdings or something merchandise going on.
Have you ever had a family member?
There's more skirts. There's more days of the week. And she's like, well, you could just wear one 2 days. And she's like, 2 days for this, 1 day for that in the laundry.
Have you ever had a family member that butt into your business as bad?
No, because I wouldn't allow that.
I did, but I put a stop to it.
Yeah, I would. They tried, but like I said, I'm not that close. So I kind of separated myself from the whole situation.
Right.
Unfortunately, I do regret not having I see movies and shows like this and I'm like, I don't connect with that aspect of it. I don't know how that is.
Yeah, I don't know.
So.
But, well, it
maybe some other people relate to that, too. I don't know.
That's the end of that scene, but trust me, there's more coming. So.
Without a doubt.
The next scene, of course, it goes over to back to the school, and Rory's in a classroom, and there's Paris. She's answering every question. Rory, of course, notices her immediately. You know, only Paris knows about Rory up until this point. Rory finally notices her, though.
Yeah, there's a learning curve there, you know.
Rory looks a little lost at first because she can't answer some of these questions. And, of course, at that point, in walks Tristan,
she's frustrated because she's always been the top student.
I'm sure that is very frustrating.
And here she's like...
She's a month behind.
Yeah, she's never been that.
No. So, in the midst of all that, Chad Michael Murray, who plays Tristan, he walks in the door. Pretty sure this was pre-One Tree Hill, which we binged not long ago, actually.
Yeah, I saw Gilmore it before, Girls. And I was like, Lucas Scott!
Yeah, he played Lucas Scott.
And then
Scott.
I was like, Austin Ames!
And then he...
Cinderella story yes.
With Hilary Duff. But he notices Rory almost immediately, and he
hones in on her.
He mentions to his friends about them having a new Mary.
No, he said, who's that?
And it looks like we got a new Mary, you know, or something like that.
Got a Mary on our hands.
But the teacher gives Rory a stack of stuff that she has to know by Monday, and he tells her to borrow someone's notes because they're usually more detailed, and she's like, more detailed than this? And I would feel the same way. So this kind of gives the first impression.
Wait, do you relate to a boss giving you unrealistic expectations of workload and saying, oh, have this done by Friday?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I'm going through that this week.
Yeah, I thought you might have something to say about this.
Yes, I can totally relate to that.
And you can't say no.
No.
Because they, you know.
I have so many projects that are due by... This is a Thursday that we're...
And even if you did say no.
Recording this. You would still end up doing it anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, but this is the first...
And I assume all her classes are going to be like that.
Oh, probably. She gets caught up.
Here's a stack of books. Here's a stack... She can't barely walk with them. She's going to have back surgery or something.
They're going to need a crane to lift all this stuff. But, I mean, so, you know, this is where you kind of get that... look in Rory's eyes that she might be a little in over her head.
During the headlights,
Whereas at her old school, like the headmaster told her, and like you just mentioned, she was ahead.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That's why she transferred.
So you start to kind of wonder, is she going to be able to make it, or is she going
to
break?
Takes you back to that first scene where all the girls in the first episode were like, this is your free time, and she's over there studying. They're all doing their nails. And,
right,
you know.
Right.
But here, she's the opposite. She's the one saying, oh, God, what, you know?
Right, right.
I don't have any free time now.
So as soon as she leaves that room, the classroom, Paris meets her in the hallway immediately and introduces herself. And at first, I kind of thought, is Paris actually going to be nice to her?
No, she's setting a precedent.
No. She is set. She is on a mission at this point. Basically telling her
she's like a shark. She smelled
place.
Blood in the water.
Oh,
she hit that target, boy.
She basically is kind of putting Rory in her place and telling her that she rules the land around here. You just know from this conversation, this girl is very driven. She puts people in their place. She tells Rory, I know all about you. She lists a lot of stuff off for her, you know, transcript and resume.
But that begs the question. If you're confident in your abilities, why even bother? She's insecure.
Well, and that's where you start to wonder if she's insecure.
Yeah, because she's top dog, why worry about somebody who's behind?
Insecure people will often do this kind of confrontation more as a way to boost themselves.
Nobody's knocking me off my mountain.
Right.
Know.
If you feel the need to say how great you are.
And if you can get your bluff in. Maybe she would back down.
Right.
Because you see this, it's a pattern with Paris.
Oh, yeah.
Because she wants to throw you off. She wants to shake you. She plays these mind games.
But if you feel the need to tout how great you are, then there may be something that you're trying to cover up for. I don't know. So some amateur psychology there for you.
Yeah, I don't know.
But she basically tells her that she's never going to catch up, and the school newspaper is Paris's domain. And, of course, Rory had never heard of their school newspaper at that point. So, she's kind of left standing in the hallway.
That wasn't on her radar.
No, not yet, anyway.
Even if it was.
Right now, she's thinking about how the heck am I even going to catch up? And this girl's already accusing me of wanting to steal the newspaper away from her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Rory just kind of looks a little baffled.
WTF moment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
What am I got myself into? You know?
So then we flash over to the Independence Inn.
Hey, one of my favorites. They're coming up right now.
Yes, you love this character.
Suki.
Suki is there. Mark, you love Suki, but
for
hate
now.
Suki.
For now.
Yes, she will get. She will reach a point where
she's gonna start rubbing raw.
Where
here.
She is your enemy for a little bit until she redeems herself. But Suki is arguing with Jackson over the produce order.
The produce, man.
I have to say, I kind of love their interactions.
It works.
Yeah. They bring it. He brings in produce.
It's kind of like.
And she argues with him over the quality.
It's kind of like Lorelai and Luke.
It is very. Like, I was actually going to say that.
Yeah,
so,
it's like.
It kind of mimics the Luke and Lorelai banter.
Not them if they're not arguing about something.
But she and Jackson are, I think, maybe even a little
worse
at the arguing.
They're masters at it.
But
and then at the end, they're like, okay, see ya.
Yeah.
they're happy about
they
it.
They will argue for 5 minutes.
That makes their day.
They will argue for 5 minutes over the quality of the produce, and then he leaves. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
And she's like, bye, you know. So Lorelai walks in, dressed great now, because she's picked up her dry cleaning. She's wearing this amazingly gorgeous suit.
Right there,
she looked so sharp. And she says, this is how I should have looked this morning rather than like I'd spent all night playing guitar.
Yes, it
like
was.
Quarters.
Yes,
playing
it was.
Quarters.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I hope everybody's not too young to know
game. But she didn't go to...
It's a drinking game.
She didn't go to college, though.
But, no, she did
but
not.
She's been to some parties, it seems like.
So what I found funny, another funny thing about this scene is that one of the things that she is arguing with Jackson is that the peaches, and I actually learned something from this scene.
That's a new one for me.
How to tell if peaches are ripe. And she's telling, you know, Jackson as she's looking at them and kind of squeezing a little on them, that they have too much water in them and therefore they will not be as flavorful. And then she starts rolling them on the floor.
Is this fact of peaches? Inquire minds want to know, people. Tell me if this is a way, real way to
tell.
This.
Yeah. So she's rolling them across the floor.
That's a new one.
And she's talking about how,
or is this just a Suki-ism, or you know, like her own way of doing things?
Right. But she rolls it on the floor, and she says, "I can tell by the way they roll that they're not
something ain't right. Here.
Something isn't right."
Yeah. I mean, I know about watermelons. Like, you thump them. If they're hollow, they're good. You know, if they smack, they're not, you know, they're not right.
I had no idea about peaches.
Yeah.
And that water being in them might possibly mean that
every peach I've ever had is pretty good. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm just lucky.
No, there have been some peaches that, to me,
maybe
were
I'm
not
just
as
lucky.
Sweet.
I just know how to pick them.
Maybe they had too much water in them. I don't know. Anyway, so, Michelle walks in, and of course, any scene where Michelle walks in, I get excited, because he has some of the best lines, and of course, he has a doozy here.
I think this is might be my favorite. I don't know, but I think it's a toss-up between two, but I think this is going to be.
Yeah, this one I have written as a possible favorite line. He says, there is a phone call for you, and if I'm to fetch, I'd like a cookie and a race. And I just thought, oh my gosh, yes, okay, that was so funny. And pretty much everything that comes out of his mouth is funny.
And that's not the one I'm thinking about comes up in a minute.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, so then he walks
lady.
Back out.
Yeah,
he's
the
walking,
old lady.
Yes, he's walking back to
that's
his,
it.
To the front desk, and an old lady and two of her older friends are walking past, and they stop him, and one of them says, where can we find the best antiques? And his answer, at your house, I guess.
No, I'm not old shame here, because
no,
in a few
no,
years I'll
not
be
at
there
all.
Probably. So, but it's just funny when he said that.
That was just a funny line.
Yeah,
I'm
at
sorry.
Your house, I guess.
No matter what, no matter how
Michelle.
You cut it, that's just Michelle, and it actually reminded me to say something about that later when we're talking about Scott Patterson's podcast for that.
Yeah.
This week.
We forgot to mention that.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about it later. Yeah. But he does, in the first podcast episode he did, I guess I'll mention it now, which was last...
Hopefully you had a chance to
listen to it. The last episode, hopefully you have had a chance
to listen
to it.
So we're spoiling right now.
when he talks to Yannick Truesdale about his role as Michelle, and he asks, you know, are the French rude, or are they just, you know, what does he think? And he said, no, they're just being themselves.
Brutally
they tend
honest.
To be brutally honest.
But they
honest.
Like to argue.
They love to argue. Yeah. He said, to them, it's not being rude.
And here...
To hear, we would see
just
it as rude.
Yeah, because we are being rude. That's what he said.
Right. That's kind of how he explained it. And it was kind of fascinating.
And I also wanted to mention that I can't wait to see... He plays a angel, I think he said. He's going to be playing...
An angel with on a show with Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, Suki.
Who plays Suki. So they're
pairing up.
They're on the same show together filming right now.
In Australia. They were working on it for, what, 8 months or so?
9 months, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they did 2 seasons. And I forget what it was called.
I don't recall. I'd have to go back and listen again.
Y'all will have to let us know, but I'm going to be looking forward to that. We can go back and find out.
Because apparently we have reached a certain age where memory kind of goes.
We don't
recall. It's been too long. It's been.
I don't
week.
Know who's catching who on that, but we're both a little demented over here.
So the phone call to which Michelle was referring, Lorelai picks up and discovers that it is, of course, her mother again, telling her that she just bought Rory a parking space at Chilton. And Lorelai says, well, she doesn't even have a car. And Emily's like, her birthday's coming up soon.
Oh.
And Lorelai's like, you're not going to buy her a car.
This.
And she's like, why not? And she's like, well, she takes the bus.
This irritates me because not only is she going to show her up, like, your mom can't provide this, she's going to show up on her birthday with a car. There's no worse I hate than getting somebody a great gift and then somebody has to show you up. Just let
not to
the mother,
mention
it's her mother's job
not
to
take
mention care of
the
that.
Fact that, well, that there she is again.
Unless they discuss it.
Yes.
I'm making
like
an executive decision here,
yeah.
And you're just going to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
No. Uh-uh.
And, and it is worth mentioning that Jarella was in this scene playing the harp, playing it very loudly, and Lorelai's kind of looking up at her. And I think it came out on Scott's podcast that originally she was supposed to be a regular.
Yeah.
And she's got kind of a sarcastic rudeness, too.
No offense to Scott. They all love her, and her this role.
And no
just,
offense to Jarella.
No, but she might be great. No, I don't know much of her. Uh-uh. But that role was not going to work.
I don't think
so. We had
so.
Sarcasm with Michelle. That's enough. And
that's
Suki,
all we needed.
Little drama.
Jarella's sarcasm came across as just really rude.
Suki's role took over that.
Yeah.
They got rid of her because she stayed.
Or
which
Michelle's
I think,
role.
Which I think was wonderful because it just worked better.
I think the Suki, the Lorelai Suki Michelle dynamic works out perfect. I think having her on it, they would have had one too many rude people.
Yeah, that just came off as mean. She was mean.
She does kind of come across more as mean
like Michelle said, the French...
they don't see it as rude.
No, but America, it comes off
a little rude.
Yes.
But with him, it's sarcastic,
it works.
Rude, so, and it works, and it's funny.
And you expect it.
But with her, it just didn't have that same way. It just came across as kind of mean.
It rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't miss her. Let's just put it that way. The show didn't skip a beat.
No. So we have a brief return to the classroom where Rory is...
Wait, no. First...
are you putting me on point
Yeah,
here?
First...
Okay.
I wanted to bring this up because Emily was like, she can't be taking the bus. Drug dealers take the bus.
Oh, my God,
And I was sitting there thinking, but it's public. It's a public bus she takes. And I was like, this reminded me of the movie Speed with... the
Keanu
Dennis
Reeves
Hopper,
and
Howard
Dennis
Payne,
yep.
The psychotic retired bomb squad cop, and he's like, puts a bomb on the bus. And I'm like, she should be more worried about that
a
scenario
bomb on a bus.
Than a drug dealer.
I don't, yeah.
What do you do, Emily? What do you do, Hotshot?
Yeah. So.
Anyways, go ahead. I just want to add that in there.
No, that's a good point. But there's a very brief.
Or flashers on a bus. I don't know.
You'd be more likely to find a flasher on a
bus. Yeah, flasher or a bomber.
Yeah.
Not a drugger. They're usually
on
the street.
Well, somebody that does drugs,
maybe.
On a
school bus? Maybe. You know, you said...
I don't know. You could probably find them anywhere.
Well, back in the day, You can find the potheads on the bus.
Well, we have a brief scene in Rory's classroom after she leaves the classroom where Tristan calls Rory Mary again and offers her his notes, but then kind of starts to hit on her, and she still has no notes by the end of that conversation.
Yeah, we can go over them in private later.
So she does not get her notes.
No.
And then, of course, we have Lorelai dealing with a guest.
Because she's still into Dean at this point, right? That's ongoing.
We haven't seen Dean in this episode. It's behind the scenes. But you know that she still kind of likes him from their first episode. Yeah.
And we also found out on the podcast.
What?
Am I getting ahead of myself?
I believe you might be.
Yeah, I ain't gonna say that. We'll leave that for later.
So it flashes back to the Independence Inn. Lorelai is dealing with an angry guest who insists that the valet scratch his car. And after she does some pretty amazing customer service and to get the man to calm down, the valet tells her, "I swear I didn't do it." And she says, "Don't worry. We'll take it over to Muskie's and have the guy look at it." And I thought this was a funny reference because...
Yeah, who's Muskie?
Muskie's is never referenced again in the entire show. The only garage person in town is a shop called Gypsy's.
But we don't know that yet.
We don't know that yet.
But I want to put
Gypsy is played by Rose Abdu, and she was on this week's episode of Scott Patterson's podcast. Her and Sally Struthers were on together.
Yeah.
And there is no Muskie's anymore. It gets renamed Gypsy's.
I want to put a bolo out on this Muskie character.
Yeah.
Because I want to know more about Muskie. Did he have shady practices? Did Gypsy take over? What's going on there? I want some backstory here. Come on, people.
Yeah, but...
If you know, let us know.
Right.
All you Gilmore...
Trivia-minded,
trivia. What they call it, like on a... Big Brother, where they're like, authorities on Big Brother. What do they call them?
Super fan.
If you're a Gilmore super fan, see, I had a brain fart.
Well, I'm a super fan, and I can say that I do not recall Muskie's ever being mentioned again. Gypsy's is mentioned as the auto place to go to, and Gypsy is the owner, and it's played by Rose, and she was interviewed on episode 2 of Scott's podcast, but
that was interesting too, though.
After she's dealt with that, the dad that she met at Chilton comes into the Independence
Inn. Yeah,
because
he had her
inn.
Card, and she definitely made an impression.
And he shows
up. He didn't even get to see the Daisy Dukes, I don't think.
No, he did. The coat was still open. She didn't have it closed.
It was just revealing enough.
I think that's why she caught his eye.
Oh, okay.
But he asks her out, and she just doesn't seem to want to go with him, and she kind of brushes him off. Which, I don't know. She mentions to him, "You're a Chilton dad." You know, so I think that kind of says it all. She doesn't want to date a Chilton dad. I don't know. But
yeah, she deep down she knows who she needs to be with.
I think so, too. Yeah. But we won't say.
Yeah.
So then we have Rory at her locker, having trouble getting her locker open. Oh, my God, this is so unfortunate.
And this part.
This would so be something I would do and probably have done. Just can't remember it because I'm older and I don't remember things.
Make a great impression on your first day.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially
with the person who hates you.
Yeah, thank you.
She's having trouble getting her locker open, so she does a giant tug that pretty much throws her into the hallway behind herself, you know, just kind of backs her up.
And who happens to be there?
Paris, walking with this elaborate school project she's prepared. And so it falls and breaks.
I've actually been in this Paris's situation where somebody's destroyed my project, but I'm not going to go there. I didn't blame them either. I took the fell, you know, whatever.
Right.
I made it up though. But it was all
so right. they get Paris just kind of says, just forget about it. Don't worry about it. And she takes what's left of her project and goes on to her class. And Rory asks somebody where's history with so-and-so, and...
Oh, yeah, I love
they
that.
They say...
No.
It's right behind you.
Yeah, she's like, where's Mrs. So-and-so with history? I don't remember her name. Teacher, history class, and he's like, it's behind you. And she's like, of course it is. Get it? You didn't at first.
No, I didn't get it at first.
Yeah, and I was like, behind you? History's behind you,
yeah. Dun-dun-dun.
You know
what I'm saying? Yeah, I totally did not get that at first.
I love...
when you laughed, I was kind of like, what's he laughing
yeah,
at?
Yeah, I love some low-rent comedy, though.
Yeah. So she goes in, and there's a whole bunch of kind of arguing.
No, first she hears, hello, Mary.
Oh, yeah. Well, continues to follow her around by Tristan.
Yeah.
But the teacher, you know, is basically telling Paris that, you know, did you do your assignment? No, I didn't. I don't have it. Well, you're going to get an incomplete. And Rory, being nice, actually stands up and says, it's my fault. My locker got stuck. I ruined her project. And Paris does not want her help and says, stay out of this.
Didn't she, like, write her a note? And why didn't you let me
know? Haven't gotten there yet.
Okay.
And
keep me on track.
Yeah, but the teacher basically says, okay, well, if you broke it, then you can help her repair it.
Yeah.
And she says, I don't want your help. And then she finally says, okay, then you're going to have to prepare it.
Yeah,
prepare
you have it, a
have
day
it by
to
tomorrow.
Get, yeah. Which she and, probably spent.
Which I thought was awful.
She probably spent months on it or something.
Right.
Yeah, and she's going to have it ready.
Otherwise, you're going to have
it. It was huge.
Yes. So otherwise, she's going to have it incomplete. And, I mean, and Rory does actually write her a note later in the episode.
Yeah.
And passes it to her saying, I'm sorry. And
she
Paris
throws,
just gets it, crumples it up without reading
I love
it.
That.
And throws it on the floor.
Why won't you let me have you?
Right. And I don't think that Rory is very used to being challenged by another person in this way. I think this is all new to Rory. Because she grew up in Stars Hollow where she's beloved. The school, you know, pretty much she kind of kept to herself and nobody really bothered her. I don't think she's ever run up against somebody that actively disliked her this much.
No.
So it's kind of puzzling to her, and she's like, oh my gosh, she wouldn't read my notes.
Yeah, her other...
The look on her face just says it all.
The kids in Stars Hollow were just glib about it, but Paris is on an attack warpath, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so...
Speaking of Stars Hollow, the next scene does take place kind of going by Miss Patty's dance school again. She's training the little girls to walk with books on their heads. And she says, these are brand new Harry Potters. If you drop it, Harry will die and there will be no more books.
Yeah, I
thought that was a great shout out to Harry Potter.
I love Miss Patty, but the damage, the scarring she's doing to these poor children. I'm being sarcastic.
But Lorelai walks by this is a very brief little exchange here where Lorelai walks by.
That's how you
learn.
And
Patty just says to her.
And that's how we learn, kids. You know,
that's how you should have looked this morning.
Yes.
And of course, that wasn't the final jab
well,
to her outfit.
It was an afterthought.
Right.
Like, one last little sting there, you know.
So then she's at Luke's. He pours coffee for her without even being asked, which is a first. She mentions the Chilton dad.
But she's lived there for years, so it's kind of their thing.
Well, the very first episode, the very opening scene is her begging for coffee and he won't give it to her.
Yeah.
So
you know, it's been going on.
This is a first. Yeah, I think he's starting to come around to the fact that I'm not going to change your mind about coffee. I'm just may as well support for her.
I know we've only just begun with this series, but this scene frustrates me because I just want to reach in there and be like, dude.
Shake them both?
No, him especially. Take your shot, man. You're the man. Take charge. I mean, nowadays.
It's clear he likes her.
Nowadays, it's back then. Nowadays, and this show does do that later. We'll get into that. But I know women, and they're more aggressive nowadays. But back then.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, she says that a Chilton dad had come all the way to the Independence Inn to ask her out. And Luke actually does not look happy. He asks if she's going. And you do just want to grab him and shake him.
I'm frustrated. She gives him the opening. And he just sits there. He's like stuck in the friend zone. I mean, man up, dude. Already, you know? She's waiting on him to make the first move.
Well, and it's clear that he wants to.
She even paused, like,
because she says no, that she's not going to go, and he says good. And she says good. And it's like he makes up an excuse on the fly, and he's probably old. He's got a kid in high school. And she's like, well, I've got a kid in high school. And he says, yeah, but you had a really young, you know, and he reiterates again, but you're not going. And it's like, dude, fish are cut bait, you know?
Yeah.
She's not going to be around forever. Lorelai's actually dropping hints at him. And he's just, she's looking up at him really flirty. And he's just, you know, I don't know. He just doesn't do anything about it. And you just want to shake him. You do want to reach into the TV and shake him and say, dude, do something. She's flirting with you. And it's clear that he wants to.
I know she can be intimidating. But
because she's super confident.
But this is a pattern with Luke. He's not a man in action on this aspect of his life. He's very...
Everywhere else, oh yeah.
Let him come to me. No. And Lorelai's not like that.
No, that's a very good point. Luke, on pretty much anything else we see him in, he is a act immediately type of person. But when it comes to his personal life, he's not. It's a weird... contrary
you think thing. Confidence, if he had the confidence, you think that was that attractive to you if he was to take the reins? I mean, I know how today it is, but would you find that still attractive if Luke was like, we wouldn't have a show, but I'm just saying, if he was assertive, if he was confident,
and
he
know. Said
you shouldn't be with him, go out with me, you know,
maybe not, just depends on how he does it. But if he had caved this early, we wouldn't have a show.
Exactly. But so, I'm just thinking.
Yeah.
Dude, if you like somebody, let them know.
I know. You want to tell him that, but just doesn't.
Especially at their age, you know.
So.
Get on with it.
Right. At that point, you know, Lorelai gets a call from someone named Babette. And, of course, we find out later that Babette is Sally Struthers. So she goes home, and there's Babette
and Maury
and her husband Maury, who's this extremely much taller than her man.
That's a joke later.
And they play the two characters that live next door in the house next door.
I can't wait to talk about that.
She tells Lorelai that she called because there were people that had pulled up at Lorelai's house, and they were starting to poke around outside of her house. And they kicked one of Babette's gnomes over, one of her garden gnomes. And, yeah, that's kind of funny. And Maurice...
yeah, he's like, that's just not cool.
Babette says, you know, don't trust these guys. Gnome kicking says a lot about a person's character.
I just
thought that was a funny remark.
That's my second quote there. That's my second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so Lorelai goes and she meets Mick. And... Mick is played by Sean Gunn that is interviewed on, I think he's interviewed third on the podcast episode with Scott Patterson on his third episode. But he's actually there to install DSL. This character of Mick later becomes a regular, and he's renamed as Kirk.
You never know where he might pop up.
And Sean Gunn... You know, he's been in Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
You know, so he's had quite a career. You do learn on Scott Patterson's interview with him more about this character and how it made the transition from Mick into Kirk.
Well, that was the ongoing joke.
Right, but we'll get into that later. But he says that this DSL order for DSL Internet was placed already by Emily Gilmore. And
of course,
Lorelai, of course, you can just tell is just, oh my gosh, that's enough. The final straw. And he said it would have been done, but it took him a while.
That's some passive aggressive stuff.
Yes, it is.
That drives me nuts.
But they had to look for a spare key and couldn't find it. She says, cancel the order. And he tells her it's been paid for. And she, of course, you know, her mother did it.
Yeah.
And Babette asked her if there's a problem. And Lorelai says, nothing that Shakespeare couldn't turn into a really good play, which I thought was great. But at this point, you kind of get the feeling that Lorelai has had enough.
She heads right to the source.
We're not there yet. Yeah. But so we do have to kind of pass back over to Rory. This is where she passes the note to.
Oh, yeah. I got ahead of myself. Yeah. That was the scene. It was very brief.
Right. So Lorelai does go to where her mother is getting her hair done.
That's right to the source.
And she goes right up to her and says, no DSL, you know, and she's like, well, Rory needs internet for school. And she says, we have internet. She said, but this is faster. And Lorelai's like, we like our slow. And she's just she's like, if we have slow internet, we can go make a sandwich. We can
dance,
you know.
They're used to their
routine.
You
know what happens? All work and no play. Yeah. And have you seen The Shining, Mom? So this is like the second reference she's made to Stephen King.
I mentioned that in the last episode.
But she basically, Lorelai in this scene, lays the law down. And she says, no cars, no nothing except from me, the mother. And she says, appreciate all you've done.
About time.
You know, I'm not going to forget it. You know, you won't let me forget it. She does throw that in.
Yeah.
She said, but I decide how we are going to live, not you.
Yeah.
And I really loved that she finally...
Some boundaries.
Put a boundary in there, stood up for herself,
but
you know.
This is Emily and Richard were doing
well, that. And as she walks away, Emily looks very displeased, but also more than that, she's got this look of bafflement on her face.
Yeah.
And it's like, why would you be baffled by Lorelai's reaction to this?
I think that's funny how people... The abuser will always be like, what did I do? Why are you making this about
me? Not that Emily is abusive.
No. But I'm just saying as a whole.
Because I don't see her as being abusive. I just think that
she is the offended one.
Something happened between them. They do not communicate well. Emily does things that aren't appropriate or good, and she just kind of treats her daughter a certain way that isn't good. I wouldn't call it abusive in any way. I just think that it's not a good, healthy mother-daughter relationship. But she acts baffled when Lorelai reacts to her antics in this manner, you know?
I guess going back to the has anyone had the overbearing parent or stories? Also, has anyone had that reaction? Like, they're offended.
Oh, absolutely.
I
want to
hear those stories, too.
I've been there.
Yes, I want to hear those stories.
And they do kind of act like, what did I do? You know, and it just would take longer to explain to kind of walk off.
Yeah, you were, like, exhausted by that point. And you're just like, it's not worth it. I can't with you right now.
Yes.
You know, so.
But this next scene I thought was really cool. Lorelai's picking up Rory from school with a cup of coffee waiting for her. And they hug each other. And Rory says, so you had a bad day,
too. I had that song in my head. You had a bad day.
Yeah, But Rory said, so you had a bad day, too. So they both kind of talk about.
What's the cure for that?
Coffee.
Right. Of course.
And, you know, so. She takes Rory's bag that's hanging from her shoulder, and she can barely lug it. It's so floated down with all the notes.
She needs a wheelbarrow for that.
Right. So she goes on to kind of tell Lorelai that everybody was calling her Mary, and what does that even mean? And Lorelai tells her, oh, are they still doing that?
And she goes,
and
like,
she's
as
like,
in
well,
virgin?
What does it mean? And she says, well, it's like,
as in virgin?
Yeah, she says they're basically saying that you're like a goody-goody.
And Rory's like,
and she said, well, what if they,
on a biblical proportion? And she's like, this is an advanced school.
She said, yeah. Well, first she says, well, what would they have called me if I'd been a slut? And Lorelai says, well, they probably would have added a Magdalene to it. And that's when she says, oh, big biblical insults. This is an advanced school.
Yes, love it.
But, I mean, yeah, so it's just a kind of, it's nice that the two of them with their separate bad days are able to come together, have some coffee, have a hug, vent to each other, and kind of smile and laugh. And they're kind of releasing the tension that's built.
I guess what I find great about this show is you just don't know what's going to come out of their mouth next.
No, you really don't.
It's like serendipitous, you know?
Right. So I think one of the last scenes, you know, is Lane, Rory, and Lorelai are walking, you know, down through Stars Hollow.
Yes.
And Lane just kind of mentions that she was missed at school today. Lorelai says that when she gets into town for her business class, you guys can come and, you know, you can shave your heads and do this, do that. And
they also have been about each other's enemies.
So oh, absolutely.
With Lane, it's her own mom, Miss Kim. We hear more about that.
Well, Lane says that she's late for dinner.
Yeah.
And Lorelai says, again, your mom's going to be unhappy if I keep sending you home fed and happy.
What is it? Tofu. And she's like, can I get that crust? And
she said she She said, my mom just bought tofu in bulk.
It's like feeding the homeless. She's like, yeah. Can I get your crust? And she's like, yeah. I feel so bad for you. You need it, you know? That's how she gives it to her.
But then she and Rory...
And then Rory's like, Paris. They're venting on their enemies and...
Well, yeah, so
adversaries.
Lane goes ahead and goes home, and then she and Lorelai continue to kind of walk down
the... It's a common thing.
And she mentions to Rory, well, I had a Paris. Yeah. And Rory's like, well, how did you, you know, get rid of her? And she said, I dropped out and got pregnant. And so then they kind of go into Luke's diner.
No. At first, Lorelai's like, you know.
Oh, they're walking past Luke's diner.
Yeah, and she's like.
And she said, hey, what do you think of Luke?
Luke's cute, kind of cute, or something like that.
She walks by and she said, they walk by and she mentions, you know, what do you think of Luke? Do you think he's cute? And Rory's like, you know.
You can't date Luke. Yes. Emphatically.
She's very adamant about it. And she said, you'll break up, and then we'll never be able to eat there again.
Yeah, she's more concerned about self-preservation with the
right,
the diner.
Because
she's like, Al sucks or stinks or something.
She says, date Al. She said, we don't like his food.
Yeah, he stinks or something.
And she's like, well, Al doesn't stink. His food stinks or something like that.
So don't date him because I don't want to run the friendship so I can eat there.
Right.
Right,
basically.
I don't care about you, your relationship. I just want to be able to eat my Luke's.
Of course, Lorelai says, I've never mentioned anything about dating. I was just asking if he thought he was cute.
Yeah, we know
that.
And then,
of course, they continue walking.
I love it. How it's lit up.
Oh, yeah, it's very lit up. It's dark as they're walking, and the town is lit up. The trees are lit up with lights.
Did you notice something in that scene?
Well, actually, behind them, as they continue to walk forward toward the camera, behind them is Luke's diner. He comes out, and he's watching them walk away.
I noticed something else.
And then he calmly goes back in.
It said William's Hardware.
Yes, it does.
It didn't say Luke's Diner, so I'm assuming that was his... When I first watched it, that was a hardware store that he took over. I wasn't quite sure.
Right.
I was a little confused there.
But I just loved that they had she had just been talking about, what do you think of Luke? Do you think he's cute? And then when they walk on, it pans over and Luke has come out of his diner and he's just watching them walk away. And
longingly,
the look is in his face. You know, you just know.
Yeah, you know what that is? I should have took my shot.
Yeah. Maybe he is thinking that.
Yes.
So that was kind of
he's pining.
That was
he's I'm stuck in this friend zone. How'd I get out?
That was the end of episode 2.
Yeah.
I
enjoyed it.
I really loved it. Now on Scott Patterson's I Am All In episode for this week, he goes over episode 2 of season 1 also, and he mentions he interviews Sally Struthers, who plays Babette, and Rose Abdu, who plays Gypsy. And even
I loved Sally Struthers. We'll get into that next time.
Yes, and the noise you just heard was one of our dogs trying to bark.
One of our little baby chihuahuas.
Yes, but I will say though about that episode.
Should we give names? Dobby and Frodo.
Yes, but I will mention one thing about that podcast episode of Scott's, and that is it is incredibly enjoyable. The banter between him and the two of these ladies is wonderful. But Sally Struthers tells this amazing story about what she does I think Scott actually tells it about what she does every year for his birthday.
Yeah, now we're going to get into
that.
But
I'm not going to spoil anything, but I'm just saying you have got to hear it.
And also Sally's, something else I want to talk about too.
Sally Struthers mentioned something about
about
her dogs. And you've got to hear that.
I don't want to talk about that right now. That'll get you in your feels. You'll see.
Yes. But that's pretty much all that we have for today. We will
Do we want to say favorite? We already did that.
Well, my favorite line is, I'm sorry, but I've got to give it to Michelle this time and say that my favorite line is where the lady asks him, where can we find the best antiques? And his response back was, at your house, I guess.
Well, you took that one.
That was
so
my
I'll
favorite.
Go with the Babette. The
Kicking Garden Gnome says a lot about a man's character.
Yeah. So there.
What was your favorite moment of this episode?
Oh, geez. I'd have to say not favorite moment per se. I guess my favorite scene was the whole Suki and Jackson banter fighting.
Yeah.
But the irritatingness one had to be with Emily, you know.
Which one?
Well, yeah, which one? But
at Chilton.
Yes, the Chilton scene.
My favorite moment, I think, has to be when Lorelai goes into the salon and
puts her foot down
and draws some boundaries with Emily, her mother. And I really liked, I think it needed to be done. Or her mom would have taken over her daughter's life. Because that's where that was heading. I mean, you know. So exactly. That was my favorite piece of that.
Yeah, I kind of found it hard to find a favorite scene in this one because it was kind of...
There was a lot going on in this episode. Yeah, it was kind of
all over the place.
A lot going on in this episode. We flashed here. So there was a whole lot. Write us and let us know. Our email address, obviously, I did announce. I kind of added on to last episode to say that the email address I was hoping to create was already taken, but we are at readysetstreampodcast@gmail.com, and that one is for real and created. So
are we sure?
We will. Yes, we are.
You got a little ahead of yourself last time.
Yes, I did.
I just want to make sure.
We will get. I'm perfectly sure.
All right.
We will get your email if you email us there. But write in, let us know what your thoughts are.
And hopefully we can start reading some of those.
Absolutely. But let us know what your thoughts are about the podcast episodes. Anything you'd like us to talk about. Any special moments about the podcast you want to share. Anything about Gilmore Girls in this episode that you want to talk about. Or share your thoughts about. Let us know.
Hopefully you're having a good time listening to this.
Yes.
We're enjoying it.
Yeah, we are.
We always love bantering and discussing and arguing.
We may be talking to barely anybody, but, you know, we love that you're tuning in, all two of you out there.
And we're having fun doing it.
Yes, absolutely.
So we'll keep doing it.
So remember to go ahead and watch episode 3 of season 1 for the next podcast, and we will see you next time. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye.